tonight. Does anybody remember what church he was at, or where it's, I don't even remember what city he was in. What was that? Amy's Creek. So pray for pastor tonight as he preaches. So we'll look tonight. Brother Chris reminded me of those five B's. He's a be brief, brother, be brief. Don't have a lot this evening, so we'll just kind of look at a couple things. Over Luke chapter 12, as we'll be at tonight, Luke chapter 12. Learned how that this microphone is very directional and not very sensitive, so I guess you shouldn't have a problem. Tina says I talk loud enough already, so I might. You know, somebody stole my steps to at work. I have to use to change some of the inputs on the TV. Somebody's trying to be funny, I think. Probably did it on purpose. Now I just had to go find a chair to step on. But Luke chapter 12 is where we're going to be at tonight. Luke chapter 12. We'll start looking at verse number... I guess I need to get there too, huh? Luke chapter 12, verse number 16. We'll start reading there. Luke 12 and verse number 16. The Bible says, "And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. There will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. Then I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall these things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasures for himself and is not rich toward God." So I was kind of looking at a thought this evening, and as we think about those words, and I'm kind of looking at just that word, thou fool. So, you know, we kind of jest, and there's a lot of name-calling and stuff like that in the day and the time we live in, you know, whether it's a lot of derogatory words. But, you know, I believe the Bible, as he talks about, he uses this word fool. He didn't use this thing out of context. He didn't use it just flippantly in the Scriptures. I'm looking at the definitions of this word fool, and then a couple people that God calls fools. And that's kind of what we're going to look at this evening. We'll see that word fool is one who is destitute of reason or of common powers of understanding, an idiot. This is from that Webster's 1828 dictionary. If you want to see what the King James Bible, you want to be taught just what the word means in the Bible, I always look up that Webster's 1828 dictionary, because you know a lot of things have changed over the years. A lot of terminology has changed over the years, so it'll kind of give you a good understanding. You can Google that, but he's called an idiot. Some persons are born fools and are called natural fools. Others may become fools by some kind of injury, a brain injury. In common language, a person who is somewhat deficient in intellect, but not an idiot, or a person who acts absurdly, one who does not exercise reason. Then another definition it kind of gives in Scriptures, fool is often used for a wicked or a depraved person, one who acts contrary to sound wisdom in his moral deportment, one who follows his own inclinations, who prefers trifling and temporary pleasures to the service of God and eternal happiness. So, and I believe that's the definition we're looking at tonight. It's not a person who's an idiot. It's a person who's a wicked or depraved person, you know, who acts contrary to sound wisdom in his moral character, and he follows his own inclinations and prefers the pleasures of this world rather than the service of God there. So we'll kind of look at, you know, he didn't use this word fool lightly. So we look at the Scriptures tonight and look at this word fool. You know, there's basically four people we're going to look at tonight, and we'll flip through them. I mean, we're in the book of Proverbs for the most part. We'll start off in the book of Psalms and look at the couple of people that God calls fools. Let's start over in Psalms chapter 14. Psalms chapter 14, we'll start there, and then we'll go to Proverbs, and then I'll jump around a little bit and read some scriptures here and there. Psalm chapter 14, and we'll a little short psalm. But he says, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. The Lord looketh down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They are all all gone aside. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge, who eat up my people as they eat bread, and call not upon the Lord? There were they in great fear for God in the generation of the righteous. Ye have shamed the counsel of the poor, because the Lord in his refuge. Oh, that the salvation of Israel were come out of Zion. When the Lord bringeth back the captivity of his people, Jacob shall rejoice, and Israel shall be glad. But the first verse there, he says that fool, and I've got it underlined and circled in my Bible, that fool has said in his heart that there is no God. So there's some people even now, you know, that deny the existence of God. You know, they don't believe in God. They don't believe in heaven. They don't believe in hell. They don't believe anything. All they believe is this nasty now and now. They don't believe in anything else. So, you know, the Bible says there's a fool, those that deny the existence of God. I'm thankful, you know, that we know that there is a God. That there is, somebody that made the heavens and earth. We'll kind of get too far ahead of ourselves this evening. But, you know, I believe there is a God. I know from November 14, 2000, when God saved me, when, you know, there was that conviction power, you know, before that, and to feel that conviction. And then when you got saved, that, Brother Todd, and those things just wash over you, and Miss Ruby said, she's talking about you feel like she could fly. You know, those burdens that are lifted off of you. Even now, you know, when you pray and God decides to meet with you, you know, sees fit to meet with you, and you hear those things. So we know that there's a God. And Miss Beverly, we know there's a God in heaven that made this. You can't look at this, what we're going through, go and look around. Well, I ain't going to get too far ahead of myself. But we'll see, first of all, we're going to look at some more verses. You hold your place there in the Old Testament around Proverbs and Psalms. We're going to look at a couple of verses here in the New Testament before we move forward a little bit this afternoon. So Romans chapter 1, we're reading some verses down through here. Romans chapter 1, in verse number 19, he says, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him, from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. That then when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but become vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they become fools, and change the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man, and into birds, and to four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. So we see, first of all, this evening as we look at it, that God, it says a couple, I've got a lot of these verses underlined. Verse number 19, he says, God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. I mean, you can't look at God's handiwork. You can't look out this world. You see the rainbow. You see the lakes and the rivers, the mountains and the seas. You look at all this stuff, Brother Todd, you can't think this would happen by accident. The complexities of the human body, muscles. I mean, they're still trying to make robots to be able to walk like we walk. And they're struggling to do it. But God just put all that stuff together. The DNA and all this stuff. I mean, what it takes for us to go to sleep and wake up the next morning. What it takes for us to get out of bed and do the jobs that we do. What it takes for us, you know, just to complete our daily lives and to be able to consciously do it. It's just amazing. You know, I was a medic for a little while in the military, but just to see how God had put this piece of flesh together. And it's amazing. You can't look at his handiwork. If you look at the skies, I mean, you go out and look at the sunset, you look at the sunrise, and, you know, you just can't look at this world and just happen by a big bang. And it's just crazy to me how they put more faith that a bang created this thing than a God that said, let there be light, and there was light. So, you know, but he tells us here that, you know, God manifested, God has showed it to him. I mean, you don't just wake up and believe that there was a big bang and something was created. And we've talked about it, and Brother Todd, that I've never seen an explosion create anything but a bunch of mess. I've never seen it. You know, somebody blow something up in the front yard, and there's a car sitting there. And it just don't work that way. So it takes a lot of faith to do that. But it tells us that, you know, that God has showed it unto them. He says, verse 21, that they knew God, but they glorified him not as God. But then verse number 21, their foolish heart was darkened. And he said, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. So he talks about those four people that become fools. We see, first of all, those that deny God's existence. I mean, in verse number 23, he said that changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man. So they try to push God in this little bottle and try to make it so something we can understand. But Todd, you know, they can't come to grips with this something that's bigger than they are. So they try to put God in this little box. And so, you know what? It's got to be something. It's got to be a Big Bang. It's got to be evolution. It's got to be something. It can't be God. But, you know, you're talking about those who deny the existence of God. You know, our conscience declares it. God puts in something in all of us, you know, that realize there's something bigger than us. Our conscience knows that. I mean, we don't have to teach Mason. You know, we don't have to try to. There's just something in him as he gets old. He sees something bigger than himself. He poked his head up back there. But, you know, there's something bigger than him. He's going to realize there's something bigger that made all this, right? So that our conscience dictates, our conscience declares it. And I got a little bit ahead of myself. Romans chapter 1, verse 20. But he says the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. I mean, there's no question mark, Brother Todd. He said, you know, the creation testifies it. He said they're clearly seen. Once again, you can't look outside and look at this world and how everything works together, Miss Beverly. How the ozone layer, and it's just a perfect temperature right now for us to sustain life. It doesn't happen by accident. We're just the exact amount far enough from by the sun, so we don't either burn up or we don't even freeze to death. We're just the exact place. It's just amazing, Brother Todd. Look at all these things and look at God's handiwork. And just see, as the creation declares that there's a God. You can't look and see other things. You could try to make all kind of excuses, Miss Beverly, but at the end of the day, creation testifies that there's a God. Not only that, we're going to look at Colossians. Over Colossians in chapter 1, down to verse number 16. For he says, for by him were all things created, that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether it be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body and the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased God the Father that in him should all the fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. But a couple of verses we looked at here this evening, he says, in verse number 16, underlined here at the end of it, all things were created by him and for him. In first part of 17, verse number 17, he's before all things, and by him all things consist. And as we kind of look at a couple of things, this thing continues because of him. There's some evidence that God didn't just create it and just leave us on our own way. This thing, whole thing, continues because of him. You know, though a fool, you know, he denied the existence of God, but first of all, our conscience declares it. Now, our conscience tells us there's a God. Secondly, the creation testifies that there's a God. This mud ball, this solar system, this universe, it testifies that there's a God. And then this whole thing is it continues on. And I believe God's in control of it all. Ms. Beverly, as we look at as it continues on, as this thing rocks along, God's in control of it all. So we see those that deny the existence of God, God calls a fool. And I can't say a better word, Brother Todd. That person who says, there ain't no God. They ain't no heaven, they ain't no hell, they ain't no God, they ain't no devil. You can actually call that person a fool. That's a Bible term. The Bible calls them a fool. I would get a fight sometimes over it. But, you know, the Bible calls them fools. Second of all, we'll look over in Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 9. He says, fools make a mock at sin, but among the righteous there is favor. So we see those who not only deny the existence of God, but he says those who delight in sin. You know, there's a lot of people out there, Brother Todd, that's just who they are. You know, they delight in sin. You know, those of us before we got saved, you know, we all have testimonies of being out in the sinful world. You know, that's just us. That's just a human nature. You know, we gravitate toward it. You know, I was kind of taught in my Sunday school a lot of time that, you know, nature abhors a vacuum. As we take some things out, we got to put something good in it, or it's going to automatically fill back. Why? Because that's just our sinful flesh. That's our sinful nature. And if we let it get away from us, you know, we'll get back to those things. But he talks about those fools in verse number 9. That fool, they delight in sin. You know, some things they mock at. They mock at the existence of sin. You think about, Miss Beverly, how there's nothing sinful anymore. You think about how we look at, you know, it's just acceptable now, the drinking. It's acceptable, the immorality. It's just acceptable. I mean, there's nothing bad anymore. Even since, I mean, in my just 49 years, 50 years, you know, just in the time I've been around, that it's went from, you know, it's just acceptable from men kissing men and women kissing women and marriage and them adopting kids and everything else. It's just commonplace. You know, the people make a mock at sin. You know, nothing's wrong anymore. You know, if it feels good, do it. You know, it just like it was over in Samuel's time. You know, every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Yeah, and that's where we're at now. Those who mock it, sin, they mock his existence. Now, there's nothing wrong with it. As long as you're good with it, you know, as long as it's not hurting nobody else, or a lot of times even if it is hurting somebody else, they make a mock at it. But, you know, they just mock it, his existence. You know, they mock its effects. You think about over James, I'm going to go over there. You know, he's talking about lust when it's conceived, bringing forth sin, and sin when it's finished, bringing forth death. You know, they just mock the effects of it. You know, just like the devil did in the garden, not surely die. As long as you only live once, YOLO or whatever, the little term they use now, you only live once. That's true. We only have a certain amount of time here, you know, but they mock the effects of sin. You know, sin always scars. You know, that lust when it's conceived bringeth forth sin, and sin when it is finished bringeth forth death. They mock the effects of sin, but also the wages of sin. You're talking about Romans 6:23, where he said the wages of sin is death. You know, they mock these things, Brother Todd. He said those who mock at sin. You know, get back here real quick. Got a verse that quick. Right here. Proverbs 14, he says, fools make a mock at sin. You know, fools make a mock at sin. He gives a comma there, but among the righteous there is favor. But you're talking about the mock of sin, those who delight in sin. You know, there's this world now, that's all they want to do. Whether it be the drinking, the drugs, immorality, no matter what it is, until the deathbed comes. Until there's cancer. Until there's COVID. Until there's 9/11. Until those things. Now all of a sudden those things aren't so fun anymore, Brother Todd. Then it's pray for me. You know, then it's something like that. But, you know, they mock it as sin until the end of it. You know, many people now, they go to their deathbed, you know, and that's where they want to try to make it right. And they live that life the whole time. Then they get to their deathbed, and they mock God, they mock sin the whole time, and now all of a sudden it gets serious there at the end when they realize that there's times coming to an end. But, you know, the Bible says those who mock at sin are fools. And they're fools. So, next one, Proverbs chapter 1. We only got like two more, and we're done. Proverbs chapter 1, verse number 7. He says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So he's thinking of those who despise instruction. You know, you don't have to reinvent the wheel every time. You know, sometimes, you know, we tell the kids that, but, you know, we're just guilty sometimes, Beverly. You know, we don't want to despise instruction. So, You know, sometimes, you know, it's both positive and negative. You know, there's that instruction. It comes from both ways. Sometimes it's positive instruction. It tells us in the right way to do things. The other way, you know, it's maybe a negative instruction. It tells us what we're doing wrong. You know, as Pastor said, you know, that the Bible has that two-edged sword. It cuts going in, it cuts going out. You know, but there's that positive, negative, and you know, that the instruction. You know, sometimes it wounds the pride a little bit. Sometimes it's hard to admit when you're wrong. Sometimes it wounds our pride a little bit, but you know, it's part of us being spiritual, Brother Todd, and really realizing how to do these things. You talking about it over in 2 Timothy, it's all scriptures is given by inspiration of God. He says, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for instruction. Doggone it. I just butchered that verse. Got part of it, but I'll be easier just to read it. Second Timothy 3:16, for all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. He goes on about talking about the man of God, but it's talking about all of us. You know, where it's all profitable for all of us. So, you know, those who despise instruction, the Bible calls fools. You know, we ought to be able to listen, and not only just listen, but kind of use what we've learned, you know, to go forward with it. You know, we shouldn't keep tripping over the same thing every day, Brother Todd. And I just, you know, think of something, you know, just natural at work. I've got there's a pipe where they should have ran the pipe overhead, but they run the conduit right there across the walkway for some silly reason over to the ice machine. All right, so after a while, I've learned to step over it. So I've tripped over that stupid thing enough, so I've learned, Brother Todd, now that I can step over it, and I've not tripped over it in a while. But something, you know, if we're not receiving an instruction, you know, where I'm not learning from my mistakes, I could trip over that thing every day. Eventually, it's going to be like, but I go out, you know, that's the way we do a lot of times there, Brother Todd. We trip over the same thing, and we never learn. We trip over the same single thing every time, and we never learn. We just keep going back, and we go, God, why I keep doing this? You're not listening. You're not paying attention to what you're doing. Pay attention to what I'm trying to show you. You know, but, you know, we get to that place where, you know, fools despise instruction. You know, and those ones that get mad during preaching, they get mad when a preacher says something that's, you know, against them or against their sin. They take as against them. But, you know, people who despise instruction, the Bible calls fools. And we'll hit the last one. Back over in Luke chapter 12. We'll hit over there and hit some verses, and we are done. Luke chapter 12, and just kind of the verses right here. But he says, we see not only he uses the scriptures here, he says, but God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. So we see those who are unprepared. In these verses, we will see a man that is unprepared. We'll see, first of all, in verse number 16 and verse number 17, you think about his gain. Yeah, how he's gotten great wealth. He's a very wealthy man. He's got more than he could ever need. So he has gained, but also it eventually leads to some other things. Sometimes we get too big for our britches sometimes, Brother Todd. You know, sometimes I believe that got reason. I've said that maybe that's the reason God hadn't made me a millionaire yet, because God knows I couldn't handle it. But you know, he's gotten too big, so he doesn't need God anymore. You see his gain, verse number 16, verse number 17, and then it turns to a little bit of greed in verse number 18. So as you go to this, they just can't get enough. Miss Jennifer, they go to 16 to 17. He's talking about he's gained. He's got all he could ever want. What do you do in verse number 18? He goes, I know what I'll do. I'll pull down my barns and build bigger. That way I'll have more. So you think about it, and his goal was to, at the end of it, soul, thou hast much good laid up for years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. So you see his gain there, his greed, his goals was, listen, I'm going to do all this, and I'm going to lay back and do nothing. I'm going to lay back and not do anything at all. But then we see in the end of it, when all of a sudden it's time to die once again, and he says, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of you. But see, at the end of it, as he's looking at all these things, I believe he wasn't looking back on all the wealth that he had gained, Brother Todd. So you think about the fool, you know, that person who dies unprepared. He's not going, you think about a rich man over in hell in Luke chapter 16, that he wasn't looking back to all the riches he had. Brother Todd, he wasn't looking back to all the, you know, he wasn't looking back wanting all that gold back. He wasn't wanting all those material possessions around. What was he wanting? He wanted a drop of water, right? He's wanted just that drop of water, but then he was wanting his brothers to have the chance that he had and wasted. You know, he's wanting somebody to go into his brethren and tell his brethren they wouldn't come to that awful place. So at the end of the day, that fool is that person that dies unprepared. Brother Todd, you know, that's just four people real quick. They deny the existence of God. That fool, they delight in sin. That fool, they just despise instruction. But at the end of it, they die unprepared. They're not ready when Jesus comes. So you think about, once again, all these people, the Bible calls fools. You know, it's foolish to be walking around, and you know, here, especially for those of us who hear preaching. We live in a Bible belt, so to speak. We hear all these things day in and day out. Maybe you know, you've read a tract, or read the Bible, or whatever it may be. You know, if we die a fool. And we'll just hit a verse real quick at the end of it, and I won't read it all the way. But you think about it in 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse number 33. He says, he's talking about Abner here, but he says, Abner died as a fool dieth. You tell me this, man, I won't read all the backstory to it, but, you know, Abner had got to a place that, you know, he had fled to the city of refuge. He was right there at the gate. You know, everything was going his way. He finally made it. But the Bible says, you know, he ended up getting stabbed and died. But he used that verse that Abner died as a fool dieth. So, you know, think about everybody that hadn't been saved. You're basically, you know, they're dying as a fool dies. Why? Because they've not done one of these things. They died unprepared. They deny the existence of God. They delight in sin. They despise instruction. So that person, they're fools. You know, one person said, I got it written down in this Bible or another Bible. I don't see it. But he said, somebody said this during preaching one time, right, Todd? He says, if you die and go to hell, you'll die and go to hell with your sins paid for. So you think about that. As that person, that's a foolish person. The sins have already been paid for. The price has already been paid. But you're talking about as that person dies, if they die and go to hell, every person that dies and go to hell, they die as a fool. Why? It's one of these things, right? They die unprepared. They died, you know, they died not being ready to meet God. So, you know, those are four things in the Scriptures that the Bible or God calls a fool. So be guilty, trying to be guilty, being one of those, you know, those who say we're saved. But the biggest thing with us, Brother Todd, those who despise instruction. You know, we got to be willing to accept instruction. To take that reproof and correction. I hope it's been a blessing to you this evening, those four things, those four people. I told you, I won't keep you long at all. Only been 30 minutes. So hope it's been a blessing to you this evening. Let's pray. We'll be done. Father, I thank you, Lord, for this day and your goodness, Lord. Thank you for our time together this evening. Lord, I pray, Lord, tonight, Lord, as pastors are away preaching, Lord, I pray, Lord, you touch and help him, Lord, as he brings the message, Lord, you might use him, Lord, during that service, Lord. I pray that you help us, Lord, we leave this place. Lord, you keep us safe, Lord, as we're on the roadways headed home. Lord, you watch over and protect us. Bring back to church on Sunday. Just help us, Lord, this evening. Pray for those that are not feeling well or those that are traveling. Lord, I pray that you touch each and every one. Love you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.